Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-step radio show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. The stories you're about to hear are real, true stories of addiction and recovery. It's a 12-step meeting on the air. And with us, we have our guests from Emotions Anonymous to share with us their experience, strength, and hope. And my first guest is Aaron. Aaron, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show. Aaron, tell us a little bit about Emotions Anonymous and how you came to find it.
Well, Emotions Anonymous is a 12-step fellowship similar in nature to Alcoholics Anonymous and the
okay.
other ones. Its core concept is to deal with people having emotional difficulties. There are many different ones. There's depression. There can be psychotic or schizophrenic behaviors. And what is also significant is that we also look at emotional problems as the core for many or most of the addictive behaviors.
Okay.
So, like, we'll have in meetings, you'll find members of Emotions Anonymous who also attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings who come to our meetings to look at their issues further.
Interesting. When I first heard about the fellowship, I'm thinking, well, you know, everybody's got emotions, so why would you need, you know, support in that area? But you're talking about something that's a little bit more powerful than just your everyday feeling blue. You're talking about, you know, paralyzing depression, you know, schizophrenia, mental illness at, you know,
absolutely.
At its core.
Yeah, it's the way it works for a person. In a similar way, I like to draw a lot of analogies with Alcoholics Anonymous
okay.
because it's the easiest way that I've always been able to explain it to people. The alcoholic has a problem with alcohol. If they drink it, it causes things to happen to them that they cannot control. Now, where a normal person doesn't have that reaction to alcohol, you know, like a person can pick up a drink and put it down and then they go on their way and they're fine. With us, for emotional problems of some sort, we experience similar troubles, like a person might be angry, and if they are a normal person, they'll work through their anger and be okay with it. For us, it sits, and then it will be compounded by other events.
Like what?
It could be, well, just in my own experience, I've been in situations where I started to get angry at somebody for what I thought they were doing to me.
Okay.
Didn't say anything about it. And where a normal person might not be able to have anything bad happen to them as a result of that, for me it just built up and built up and built up till eventually I lashed out. You know, one of my favorite things to do in the past was to scream and yell at these people, throw rocks at them, attack them, fight them. And then and I would do it in such a way that I would just, in attacking them, I was really like hurting myself. I'd throw myself on the ground, kick and scream on the ground. People would surround me and make fun of me and laugh at me. And it was like this total self-destructive thing, and
sure.
I didn't know it.
Sure, sure.
I didn't know that there was anything that was going on. I thought it was all their fault. And then after that, then I'd feel horrible about it and then go for a few days or weeks and nothing would happen. And then I'd just gradually build up and do it again.
Would you consider yourself to be passive aggressive? I mean, do you sit and not respond for a while and sit docile, then all of a sudden you just snap?
I think the description is right. You know, the terminology about passive aggressive and all that, I never learned it that way in terms of my recovery. I just looked at it as this way. I didn't deal with how I was feeling.
Okay.
Eventually it got so built up I had to snap and I blew up.
Okay, well let me back you up a little bit. Let's start out as a child. When did you know that? Well, first of all, you said you're also in recovery from an alcohol addiction as well.
No, not exactly. I attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in addition to Emotion Anonymous, because the way I look at my own behavior pattern is it's an addiction in itself. However, the core of that addiction is not dealing with emotions.
Okay.
So, you know, the AA concept of, you know, sobriety and how it's really hard and fast lines.
Sure.
Like if you do these things, you're screwed up and you've got there's really serious problems. That is helpful to me in maintaining my abstinence from that kind of outburst behavior. And
okay, so you never had a problem with drinking?
No.
Okay. No, I appreciate you clarifying that. Well, let's back up. Well, let me find out a little bit about what your childhood was like. Were you when did you start noticing these outbursts in your life?
The outbursts never stopped.
Okay.
You know, like a little kid, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, they act out and throw temper tantrums and stuff. I never stopped that.
Okay.
And what happened was, you know, due to some other circumstances, I'm not saying it to pass blame on my family or anything like that.
Sure.
But the family circumstances were pretty bad. My father and mother were both drug users. You know, they were into their own world as a result of their drug use. I found Initially, I found some other ways to deal with my own bad feelings. The violent acting out was a big part of it. Fantasizing, just living in my own world. And the two kind of supported one another because I would act out when the world around me didn't suit the way that I thought it should be.
Sure.
And so that behavior just kind of continued and manifested itself, but it became a problem. Became a problem where people noticed it as something unusual starting from, you know, grade school, second grade.
Teachers were pointing it out?
Oh, yeah. I got sent to the office. I got, you know, people sent me to psychiatrists. And
Were you physically abusive to other kids?
No, not at that time.
Not at that time. Okay.
But, I mean, I got rageful and, you know, did things like throw rocks at him. But as far as being like a class bully or anything like that, I wasn't. You know, it was usually more, you know, the way I was doing it was I wanted people to take it out on me. And then that would be like somehow my revenge.
Okay.
Because I was going to get them to like abuse me so that I thought I would have a right to like strike back and stuff. But when I actually tried to, I mean, there wasn't much to do that with. So I couldn't, I was totally ineffective at fighting, but I was really good at humiliating myself.
Okay. Okay. When did you know that you weren't wired like other kids? When did you get a sense of that as a child?
Probably from almost the very beginning.
You knew?
Oh yeah. I knew it. The times that stick out to me the most strongly knowing it started around second grade.
Okay.
Because I would watch. I would watch people in sports, you know, like, you know, you pick out phys ed stuff, you know, pick out the teams and stuff like that. I never, you know, they would compete. I never wanted to compete. Part of it was because I knew I would lose, but I just didn't feel the same way as other people seemed to act.
Okay.
You know, like they all looked like they felt pretty good about themselves. I just couldn't. Just couldn't quite get with it. And then my acting out, I never saw anybody else do what I did.
Mm.
Never saw that. And that's not only from second grade, but that's all the way up through the time that I was really doing that kind of behavior, which is all the way through about seventh or eighth grade, when that manifestation stopped. And then I started developing other things to act out on my feelings. You know, I developed, you know, fire setting, you know, from very young.
Fire setting?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like literally, like arson?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I didn't do, you know, I would do things within a framework as always. I didn't want to destroy my house or anything like
that.
But I used to set, we had irrigation canals. Oops, sorry. We had canals in the back of my house and I used to set those on fire. I set my backyard on fire, my front yard on fire, newspapers. In later years, I would soak dirt clouds with gasoline and throw it out in the street and fantasize I was in a war zone. You know, I just do all kinds of stuff. And even at the very end, I used to do things like pour rubbing alcohol on the counter and light it and in my own house and even set my own floor on fire. But it was the high that came from that was in me feeling power, like thinking I'm destroying something, you know, and then like getting away with it. But as opposed, you know, it would match anything probably when you hear about pyromaniacs and stuff. I can't speak for them. I can certainly speak for myself that that was just another manifestation of my out of control behavior that was caused by all this emotional stuff that was going on.
Is this emotional stuff all boiled down to anger? Does it all take you back to anger?
No.
Okay. What? Go a little bit further beyond the anger. What else is there?
I think for me, anger is was a cover for tremendous insecurity around other people, inadequacy around other people.
Okay.
Because, you know, some of this stuff was, it kind of is cyclical. It goes around and around. I'd act out. I'd get humiliated. People would look at me as strange. I felt inadequate. I felt scared to try to bring myself out to approach people. So it just started the whole cycle all over again.
You know, you touched on depression earlier, and you say that, you know, folks in your fellowship generally suffer from depression and a couple other things. I heard depression once described as anger turned inwards.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be an accurate assumption for you as well?
I think it is. For me, the times that I was depressed, though, I look at it from a more behavioral standpoint. The old version of the Emotions Anonymous Big Book described it classically. They said depression is frozen rage. It's frozen feelings. A person has so many emotions built up that do not get out. And one of two things happens. Either it will come out in outbursts of anger, like my case, or it'll turn inward and you'll get, you know, depressive, you know, sometimes suicidal, you know, it's got to go somewhere. And what, you know, there's that, that's the emotional depression. Now there's the physiological stuff that we hear about a lot, the chemical imbalances, that the medically defined depression.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure about that. And, you know, I can't certainly speak for Emotions Anonymous, but I am not the program itself, but one of the things that all the 12-step fellowships share in common is that they say for physical problems, take it to, you know, a doctor. But if you want to learn to deal with the depression itself and the causes and roots of it, the 12-step program will certainly take care of that.
Hmm.
In my case, I had to look at, you know, when I started looking at anger, for me, you know, it was the outburst kind of stuff was the way it showed for me. So when I was in treatment and started working the steps through it, I was looking at what was below the anger in a similar way to what you asked me about.
And what was it? Was it fear? Did it when you did some work and you started digging in there, what did you find? You had mentioned your parents before. Was there a lot of animosity there from growing up in a house full of addicts? I mean,
well, not really. They were kind of unusual. They would fight with each other.
Okay.
But they would not really do anything with me. They would actually, more than anything else, I was left alone and just kind of neglected. And so I would just, you know, find my own stuff to do. As far as, you know, if we want to generally take a look at what was below my anger, it would be fears. But when I looked at it in treatment, I looked at incident by incident basis, and there were usually very specific things that happened.
Well, you mentioned treatment. What type of treatment?
Well, I went through a treatment. It was a 12-step program, a 12-step-based program that dealt with adolescents because I went in at the age of 19.
Okay.
And they dealt with adolescents who had all types of compulsions. Now, my compulsion, as it were, actually carries a diagnosis. It's just simply called a behavior problem. But we looked at it as an addiction, exactly the same as an alcoholic. And I was in treatment with a bunch of alcoholics and mixed drug substance users, people who are bulimic, anorexic, overeaters, because we all looked at the one-step program as being the way to deal with all of that stuff, which was one of the reasons why, as I got through treatment, I was pointed to Emotions Anonymous as an aftercare group.
Okay.
That was one reason. The other reason is because the very nature of my own behavior problem itself stems from emotional causes. If I don't deal with my feelings, they deal with me. You know, and you probably heard that statement so many times before, but it's nowhere more true than in my own case, you know, that because of the behavior that I would exhibit. What I learned how to do was to talk about these things, because that's one of the things that really differs with a person with this problem. And whether it's the way it comes out with me or for a depressive or, you know, manic depression or whatever the disorder happens to be, is that we are intrinsically broken when it comes to dealing with feelings. We don't do it like normal people do it. And so I learned how to work through the steps from 1 through 12 with individual issues, and as well as the overall global thing, you know, like where you take a look at all your past and you go through it. And so that helped me learn that, okay, I'm feeling angry, as an example. I'm feeling angry. This person was making fun of me. What was going on? Well, I was feeling inadequate because I thought what they said was really true and I didn't want it to be. And I learned how to be honest with things like that. And when I said those things, I no longer had to act out on those things.
Mm. What about friends and relationships? What was it like growing up?
I had very few friends.
Okay.
I think, though, as I've come along in recovery, I realized that a lot of people really wanted to be friends with me, but I couldn't see it because due to the thinking that I had, I thought everybody else was the enemy, like they're out to get me. So I would hide out from people most of the time.
Were you afraid to let them in?
Absolutely.
Okay. So was your acting out, you know, just a way to keep them at distance?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What about relationships, girlfriend, you know?
They have a saying in the program about taking hostages. That's pretty much what I did. The poor girls who had the unfortunate event of going out with me were subjected to me wanting to marry them within a week as a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, and also just my being so totally codependent with them that I was constantly testing them to see if they loved me enough And they never – it didn't matter. You know, they could do anything they wanted to in the world, and it would never be enough. And so in all cases except one, they broke up within a couple of weeks. The one who stayed with me was probably about as poor off as I was. And that relationship became so destructive to me anyway from – I was about 18 and on through 19 years old that – literally, the only thing that I lived for was the pursuit of this relationship, you know, and, you know, sexual whatever and everything that I was doing. And I dropped out of school twice. I got kicked out of my house a whole bunch of times, didn't care. I'd sleep in empty houses. I was, you know, by this point, I was getting violently rageful at home, which had not happened before. I was sneaking out of my house in the middle of the night to be with this girl, coming back, lying to my grandmother, who was taking care of me by this time. And telling her that I was out just driving around. Well, you don't drive around at 5 a.m., but certainly not from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. So, you know, she knew that there was something going on, and she thought I was using drugs. And then I'd get rageful at her and say, you know, how dare you accuse me of doing drugs? Because I thought I was better than everybody who used drugs or alcohol, because I'm not doing that. Well, if she only knew that I was sneaking in through this poor girl's window at 10:30 at night, and I'd be, you know, having sex with her all night, and then coming back out at like 5 in the morning and sneaking home. And I had the – I mean, it was amazing. The whole way I had it rigged. And towards the end of it, I started getting caught. And where in the beginning of it, I would have been mortified if I had been caught. At the end, when I started getting caught first by my grandmother, she caught me coming home at 6 a.m. And I just totally blew her off. And she – you know, I remember coming in the house at 6 a.m., and her saying, give me the car keys, because I did drive home. I had hidden the car keys under some pillows in my closet. She came in. She saw me come in. And I was laying on the bed, and she says, give me your car keys. And I said, I don't know where they are, you know, like as if. And by this point, she was so exasperated with me that she just simply – she was like threw up her hands and walked. By that point, she was also already trying to get me in rehab. So I think there was some sense of – you know, not really wanting to stir up the waters too much, because she was just trying to keep me under, you know, keep me alive enough to get me into a place that would help me.
So in a nutshell, Emotions Anonymous has been helpful. I mean, it's brought you to a place of some glimpse of serenity here.
It's brought me a lot of serenity.
Great.
Everything that I've told you about from the past has been completely reversed and turned around. I'm a success, and I, you know, completed school. You know, decent at my job. I have a wonderful relationship, and wonderful relationships with my friends in general and with my family in general. It's restored everything. Relationship with God, and, you know, serenity. I like myself. I can wake up and feel okay with myself on any given day.
Fantastic. Aaron, thanks for sharing with us tonight. You're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Steppin' Out.